I'm speaking today with J.C. Chong. J.C. is a professor and an extension specialist. His field is entomology, and his home base is the PD Rec over in Florence. J.C., thank you for talking with me today.
Well, great talking to you again, Amanda.
And we spoke earlier about a really hot topic. I know master gardeners and people and just the public in general got real excited about the pesticides that come under the label of neonicotinoids because of an improper use of them that killed a lot of bees at one time. And so everybody got all excited about it. But again, our job is to use science to make decisions. And so that's why we're coming to you. Earlier, we talked about the fascinating research you and other research facilities did in how much the plants that we go to the store in the spring when we get excited, you know, the ornamental, the annuals and herbaceous perennials that we put out, how many of those were attracted to pollinators and had neonicotinoids in them. And people can find that if they go to the earlier podcast. But that's a smaller use compared to other uses of neonicotinoids. So let's talk about how it's used in other parts of the agricultural industry, maybe beginning with just our field crops, perhaps.
Sure. Neonicotinoid is one of the major products that we use, major insecticide that we use in agriculture. And just about any kind of crops that you're seeing out there, doesn't matter if it's soybean or cotton or corn, some of them has been treated with neonicotinoid. So the treatment for neonicotinoid in the field crops could take the form of either spray directly on the plant itself to kill the insects that are feeding on them, or they can be seed coatings on the seed that is sticking the ground, so that when the seedlings are germinating, there are already insecticide around it to protect it from insects that are in the soil that might be feeding on them.
And does it also give the little seedling itself some protection from insects that are in the air?
Sure. And some of them, because it's neonicotinoid are actually systemic insecticide. So if you have a little bit of seed coating on the outside, the active ingredient can also be absorbed by the root of the seedlings and bring it up to the to the leaves to protect them from some of the early season pests.
And you know, JC, depending upon what part of the country you're in, you and your soil types, I think, can even be a factor. There may or may not be a threat to your seeds from soil wireworms or things like that. But I believe that most of the seeds are just treated because is it just easier? I mean, it's so hard to stop your assembly line and clean. So even if you don't need it in a particular area, are you likely to receive seed that has been coated?
Yes, it's pretty likely that your seed will be either coated with an insecticide or a fungicide. Like you say, a lot of time it's the assembly line. It's a lot easier for them to go ahead and do it for everybody. Doesn't matter where you're selling the seed, then actually stop the assembly line and say, okay, we are producing seed now for the South. They probably don't need the coating. Let's not do the coating. That usually doesn't happen.
So, and you said the tonnage is large, the amount for that.
Absolutely. So the seed coating itself, in about 10 years ago, we were using about 2 million kilos of neonicotinoid just on coating seed. And that's a huge amount of insecticide.
Now, since it's water soluble, do they worry about it being in the water supply or not?
Well, there's always a risk of them being in the water supply. But the amount of insecticide on the seed coating itself is pretty minute. Okay. So there's not a whole lot of chemical in there to actually penetrate. Okay. And also, a lot of times, they will also stay in the soil a lot better than just penetrating through the entire soil.
Oh, good. So they're not horribly soluble. I mean, they're going to tend to stay there.
They will. They are pretty soluble, but they do tend to stay in the soil.
Okay. But it is an improvement in some ways over some of the previous products that were available, even though it has its own set of problems. It has less toxicity in certain ways than former products that were used. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And in fact, neonicotinoid was developed to really get around the high toxicity issues of the nicotine or the organophosphate insecticide. Okay. So if you just compare the amount of insecticide being used to 50 years ago, what we are using now is much less than what we used 50 years ago. So that's definitely a benefit of using some of the new insecticide.
So those are causes for to be glad that we have these new products coming on, but people seem to be so worried. The pollinator situation seems to be so much in people's minds, and they, because of that one terrible incident, people worry that this is going to add to the problem.
I always sort of joke when I give a talk and I say, okay, the neonicotinoid is an insecticide, and pollinators are insecticide. When you put one and one together, of course, something bad is probably going to happen. So neonicotinoid have inherent danger or risk to the pollinator. There's no doubt about that. So to actually avoid that kind of danger, we need to be thinking about some other ways that we can use the product more safely and more effectively so we can actually avoid that kind of risk. So we can control the pest while not hurting our pollinator at the same time.
And that has to do with sometimes timing. And
that has a lot to do with timing and where you use it and how you use it.
Okay.
For example, when the flowers are blooming and your pollinators are actually visiting the flowers, that is not a good time to be using neonicotinoid or in fact any insecticide at all, because when you apply the insecticide to the flowers and the pollinators, if you get in contact with the pollinators, you will kill the pollinators.
Yes.
And even if the pollinators are not there, if the residue stay on the flowers itself and the pollinators sort of walk by and get in contact with it, they can still be impacted.
Yes. Okay. Americans certainly do love their lawns. And we know that if we really wanted to help the pollinators, we ought to reduce the size of our lawn and put in a pollinator garden. And some people are doing that. Therese Alott, who works with us, has been doing that and enjoying the results because she sees such wonderful things. But I think the turf industry itself also has found that the neonicotinoids have been effective in one of their pests, of treating one of their pests.
Right. So the neonicotinoid has been used in the turf industry for treatment of white grubs.
I see.
Quite a bit. And that's basically one of the number one products for treating white grubs is the neonicotinoid. And some of the study has been shown over the years that application of neonicotinoid can profoundly change the ecosystem in the turf grass.
Whoa. You know? Whoa.
And so, but using neonicotinoid, when you have a pest that's very difficult to control and neonicotinoid is your only option, then there's not a whole lot of other things that you can do about it. Luckily, there are more new products that are coming out that are just as safe for pollinators and other animals as effective as neonicotinoid.
Oh, good. They're so safer.
They are definitely safer and just as effective.
And so that's one reason we want our professional applicators to take advantage of trainings so that they're aware of their options and can shift.
Absolutely.
Yeah, can shift.
I would definitely recommend that. And, you know, folks like me do a lot of research in that arena. So we could definitely share those information as to what is good, what is effective, and what's safe.
And you said that, and although sometimes it's not possible for a professional company that's coming in to make a treatment to have a lot of laxity and timing, but you said if, for instance, if you had some clover that was blooming that and you were going to make this application, which I guess is a liquid application to turf, they could even, there's some cultural practices that could minimize the risk. Is that correct?
Right. Some of the study that have been conducted in University of Kentucky basically showing that if you have clover flowering and you apply a neonicotinoid insecticide to the clover, much of the insecticide will end up in the nectar, and it might have impact on the bumblebee's population. But if you mold the clover before you make the applications, then you can actually reduce a lot of that risk just by reducing the amount of active ingredient actually ended up in the nectar.
So there are things, just being aware of the how things work and how they move in the plant and trying to put that whole picture together can help us all to do a better job when we do find that we need to make an application sometimes.
And that's probably the major point you have there, Amanda, which is, you know, knowledge is really the key to the success. We are concerned with pollinators, and we know there are a lot of things that we can do to help and be detriment to the pollinator populations. So we need to know what those are and how we can actually use them.
And the EPA does go back and make reviews, and sometimes they make changes in labeling or what's allowed. Is that correct?
That's correct. And EPA does conduct registration review of different chemicals, doesn't matter if it's insecticide or fungicide or herbicide, every few years. And what they would do is basically during the review process, they're putting all the new information. And then they're going to look at the old information and then the new information and then make a decision as far as, well, is this product still safe based on our current state of knowledge and whether we allowed it to be used again.
And you said that recently there have been some reductions in the amount you could use in certain situations. And so that's why, once again, you should always read the label, because if I'd been putting out something for 5 or 10 years, I might just have a way that I mix it, but that may no longer be legal, and I could still get control and be using less product, but I need to read the label, because the label is the law and it protects the environment and also the applicators and people who live in the homes.
Absolutely. And one thing that I would add to that is you want to read the label of the product that you're using right now, because the label do change.
I see.
The amount that you apply change. The name can change. The active ingredient can also change.
Whoa.
And for example, I'll give you an example. For example, Grub X.
Yes.
Which is a hormone product for white grubs control. Years ago, the active ingredient is actually one of the neonicotinoids.
Oh.
And recently, the active ingredient was actually changed to another product that's not even a neonicotinoid.
Oh, goodness.
That product is just as effective as neonicotinoid, but less harmful to pollinators. So because of that change in the product, you're basically reducing risk to the pollinators, but it also entails quite a bit of changes in the label language, how much you apply, and things like that. So even if the product is the same name, you need to read the label very carefully just to make sure that the active ingredient is the same and all the other information are the same. So if you have a bag of 20-year-old product in your shed and you bring it out, that's a different story. But you probably don't want to use that. It's been sitting around for way too long.
Yeah. And fortunately, our State Department of Agriculture does circulate the state having times when you can bring pesticides for safe disposal. And that's something people should keep in mind as well. You don't just put them in the trash and send them to the landfill.
Nope. If it goes into a landfill, it probably go into the water somewhere. So be very careful.
It's a complicated subject, and I want to thank you for taking the time to shed some light on this today, and doing what you people do research, and then getting that information to the people, because we do want to make our decisions based on science and not on hysteria. Thank you very much, JC.
Thank you, Amanda.